You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And always a privilege to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember our contact information on the web. It's equip.org via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our callers. First up, Colin in Shiprock, New Mexico. Hi, Colin.
Hey, Hank. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I appreciate your ministry. My question is, I started reading Fox's Book of Martyrs last night, and I was just so moved by the strength that was exhibited by all the saints that have been persecuted throughout the years. And I wondered, are we as Christians called to mentally and physically prepare ourselves for such persecution, or does that type of miraculous strength and fervor just come in the moment from the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I do think that God gives us the grace we need when we need it, and oftentimes not a moment before. But I love the way you forged the question. I think there is a sense in which we should prepare for persecution. Persecution is a word that is used throughout the Scriptures, and Jesus makes clear that if he was persecuted, that we too, as his followers, will be persecuted. But then he says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you. So how do you ultimately have a preparation for persecution? It is by developing an eternal perspective. And if you look at what happened in the early Christian church, you see that believers had an eternal perspective. They knew that Christ had risen from the dead. They knew that they too would rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and so they counted not their lives worthy even unto death. They knew that someone could kill the body, but they would again be resurrected. They would stand again upon the earth, and so they could face everything that life could bring their way, because they knew that ultimately there'd be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
Appreciate your ministry, and God bless you.
Appreciate you, Colin. Thank you for your call. Nathan next, Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Well, thank you.
Hank, I got to say, man, I thank God for your ministry, man. I really appreciate how God is really, really blessing you in your ministry.
Thank you.
What I wanted to ask you, Hank, was I've seen a young lady on my job, and she invited me to a class, and this was by far one of the most bizarre ministries that I had ever encountered. It is the IDMR ministry. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
And one of the things, it was just so bizarre. They give a lot of credence to their founder, Dr. Kinley.
Yes, Henry Kinley, yes.
And she did express to me in our conversation just last night that she didn't believe that Christ was bodily resurrected. And I know for a fact that if Christ wasn't resurrected, then there's no warrant, per se, for salvation as a whole.
And for our resurrection, that's right, yeah.
Exactly. We don't have any warrant for our resurrection. But basically, Hank, what I wanted to ask was, along with prayer, what are some things that I can do just to be able to minister to her and basically just share, like you say, why it is I believe what I believe.
Well, you know, I think it's really good that you bring up the fact that they reject the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And for everybody listening in, we're talking about the Institute of Divine Metaphysical Research and its founder, Henry Kinley, who denied the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and so too do his followers. But what does Paul do for those who deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ? He makes a four-part argument in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the four-part argument is very persuasive. He starts out saying, look, Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment. And this is something that whether you're a secular scholar today or you're a biblical scholar, pretty much all credible scholarship concedes that Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment. There are some people who say, well, he had a twin and his twin was crucified in his place, or he swooned and he was revived in the cool air of the tomb. There are a lot of hypotheses that have been set forth, but none of them really correspond to reality, and only fringe scholars even countenance such arguments today. So again, pretty much universally conceded that Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment. Then Paul says, well, you know, he was raised on the third day from the grave. After he was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, he was resurrected from the grave. So the tomb was empty, says Paul. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. Now, just as I made the first point, I can make the second point. The friends and foes of Christ alike concede that the tomb was indeed empty. Thirdly, Paul says, and then he appeared. And he appeared to over 500 people at one time, most of whom, says Paul, are still living, though some have fallen asleep. In other words, Paul was saying, those people aren't dead, they're alive, they're available for cross-examination if what I'm saying is not true. So the post-resurrection appearances of Christ are powerful proof for the resurrection itself. And then finally, Paul says, there is utter, complete transformation. It is conceivable that someone will be willing to die for what they earnestly, fervently believe to be true, but inconceivable that thousands would die for what they knew to be a lie. The moment that the sword is unfurled, you might well say, I was just kidding. So Paul here again makes a four-part argument for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he says, if it's been preached that Christ has been raised, how can some of you say there is no resurrection from the dead? Because if there's no resurrection from the dead, that not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Then even those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life, he says, we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. So Paul is saying, look at the evidence. This is not something we believe through blind faith, but rather faith in evidence. So all of that to say, you can use the evidences as a means of communicating the truth that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. Now, can you talk her into believing this? No, but you can be prepared. And this is the point that I try to make on the Bible Answer Man broadcast consistently. It's not about evangelism. It's always about being equipped for evangelism, because if you're prepared or equipped, God will give you opportunities, and the Holy Spirit ultimately gives the increase. So use this deviation as an opportunity to communicate that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that is not something you believe through blind faith, but rather faith in evidence. And there's so many other things that you can point to, which is to say they reject the doctrine of the Trinity, the deity of Jesus Christ. They embrace a pantheistic view of God and so forth. You can use all of these deviations as springboards or opportunities.
Right. And Hank, you spoke often about a flip chart that you have.
Yes. You know, there are a couple of things that we have. I often talk about the three great apologetic issues. Those three great apologetic issues are, number one, the issue of origins, how one views their origins ultimately determines how they live their life. So this gives you the opportunity to say there is a God. If you look at the universe itself demands an explanation, and the only plausible explanation is that there is an uncaused first cause that created it. The second major issue is the issue we're just talking about, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've done a flip chart on both those issues, and then finally, I've done a flip chart on demonstrating that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And what's kind of cool about the flip charts is all three of them use acronyms. So the information is given to you in bite-sized chunks, number one, and number two, in memorable chunks. So you can not only read through the flip chart, but you can internalize the information and then use it. That's the whole idea, to be equipped, always ready to give an answer.
Great. I would definitely like to get some of those information from you.
Well, you hang on, and we can put that information into your hands.
Thanks a lot.
You got it. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, thank you for your prayers and your support, and we'll be right back.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now." Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, A hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also, write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now, once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to our phone callers. Next up, Charles in Belleville, Illinois. Hi, Charles.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. I want to take much of your time. I just had a question about the Way International, if you knew anything about them and what your opinion was.
Yeah, it was founded by a guy named Victor Paul Weirwill. He died back in 1985, so they have a new president. Basic teaching is that Jesus Christ is not God. The Holy Spirit is an impersonal force or power. The law of believing that is taught in this context is that whatever you believe is going to happen, whether good or bad. So it has some smattering, as it were, of word of faith kinds of proclivities as part of the whole movement. But it's definitely a cultic movement.
Okay, well, thank you for your time, sir.
You got it. Appreciate your call. We'll go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Bruce listening in Lorena, Texas. Hi, Bruce.
Hello. My question for you is it wrong for me to have a desire to serve God more of a fear of his judgment and being sent to hell rather than simply a love for him? Because sometimes I feel like that's where I'm at.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've said this many times, but Jesus Christ is a person. And when we come into a relationship with him, we come into a love relationship with him. And the more that we get to know him, the more we love him. So the love increases, and not only increases in time, but will increase for all eternity. We're not omniscient. We're not those that will know everything when we get to eternity. So we will continue to grow and develop in our love and our passion for Jesus Christ. So it's an ever increasing blessing that we have to look forward to throughout the remainder of our lives and throughout all eternity. So what happens when you become a believer? You recognize that you're a sinner. You repent of that sin and you say, I love Jesus. I want to do it his way. He loved me. He was willing to sacrifice himself for me. No greater love does anyone have for another than he is willing to lay down his life for that person. And in the sense of Jesus Christ, he not only suffered for us physically, but also bore the sins of all humanity. So he suffered more than any person, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity, so that we might be reconciled to him, so that we might have a relationship with him. I mean, that's the whole thing. The whole thing is a matter of relationship. It's not just a logical set of truth propositions that we adhere to, but it is a love relationship. It is a life. And so Jesus Christ now goes with us as our friend. He carries us through the deep and dark disasters of life. He's an ever-present friend, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So it's incongruent for a believer not to develop that love relationship. But our relationship with Jesus Christ, talking about people in general, all at different levels. You know, if you want a deep relationship, you have to spend quality time with an individual on a human level, and certainly that's true with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more time you spend with him, the more you love him, the more intimate that love becomes.
Well, that's a good answer, and I have noticed that it has been the case that the more I concentrate on each thing that I do being done in accordance with his will, if in fact I'm able to do that, then I do feel like that the relationship is growing. And that is one of the reasons I was inspired to call and ask you that question. And I do appreciate your answer, but would it be okay if I asked you one more question?
Yeah, go ahead, Bruce.
Okay. I recently had a conversation with a person of the Jewish faith, and, of course, I wanted to know what the difference was, the biggest difference between the Christian faith and the Jewish faith. And, of course, the answer, one of the answers was is that they do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that that is simply a title. And, of course, they went on to say that, you know, Abraham, for example, was basically the savior for the Jewish people, and mentioned some others. And my answer was, you know, I understand that most likely that teaching is coming from the Old Testament, but that those people could not bear the sins of anyone. Only Jesus could do that. And so I wanted to know what your perspective was on that, and if there was something about my answer that you thought I should change or should have answered differently on that question.
No, I think your answer was brilliant. I think it's right on point. Only Jesus Christ can bear the sins of humanity. Only Jesus Christ lived the perfect life. Only Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway and fulfill the Old Testament, jot and tittle. He is the only one who could emerge through the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets. So Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and we can demonstrate that. I mean, just look at the prophecy. The prophecy in terms of his ancestry through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The prophecies concerning his birth in Bethlehem, not just any Bethlehem, but Bethlehem Ephratah. Of all the towns and hamlets in the world, only Bethlehem Ephratah would do. The fact that he would be crucified. So the circumstances surrounding his death are predicted by prophets like Isaiah. The time parameters, the date of his coming, was given within historically narrow time parameters. The fact that he would be an extraordinary worker of miracles, that he would fulfill all the law and the prophets, that he would not just be a parochial Jewish Messiah, but he would come so that the light might go out to the Gentiles as well, so that the knowledge of God would fill all the earth. So only Jesus could fulfill all of those very specific and well-detailed documented prophecies. And so when I talk to Jewish friends, I will point out that Jesus is the only one who can walk through that doorway and fulfill those prophecies, and therefore they don't have to wait for a coming Messiah. Messiah has already come and demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact of resurrection, which is something that Paul, as a Jew, made an ironclad case for, saying that Jesus suffered fatal torment, the tomb was indeed empty, Christianity can't survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. He appeared, he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive to people that were around at the time and could be cross-examined if, in fact, this was not true. And then people are utterly transformed as a result of those appearances of Christ, such that they now are willing to die for the very one they once despised. Paul, of course, the classic example, but you think of James, the half-brother of Jesus, who was embarrassed by everything that Jesus stood for until Jesus appeared to him. And then he calls himself a bond servant of Christ. He becomes a leader of the Jerusalem church and eventually is stoned for his faith. And you inevitably have to ask the question, why would someone willingly die for the notion that one of his family members is, in fact, God? Only the resurrection of Jesus Christ can account for that. So, first of all, I think your answer was very good. Secondly, I think it's important to find out what kind of a Jew you're talking to, because Judaism has various expressions. There's Orthodox Judaism, known as Torah Judaism. It's best known for its strict dedication to the eternal and unalterable Mosaic law as reinterpreted by rabbis subsequent to the fall of Jerusalem. So only through devotion to the complex code of Jewish law can you experience nearness to God. I spent some time with two Orthodox Jewish rabbis in Iran, incidentally, and was privy and watched up close and personal as they tried to keep that complex system of laws, particularly with respect to eating. I felt very blessed that I didn't have to keep those laws, that Jesus said that it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him, it's what proceeds from the heart. And in saying that, Jesus Christ declared all foods clean. So you have, anyway, the Orthodox Jews, then you have the Reform Jews, you also have conservative Jews, and there are other permutations of Judaism as well.
Okay. Well, Hank, I wanted to thank you for taking the time to answer that for me, and I will try to probe farther with this person and find that answer out, because I would like to continue the conversation with them, and you've given me some very good points and some scripture to refer to as well. So thank you again so much for your time and being patient with me on this.
Oh, you got it, Bruce, and thank you for your desire to be a witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the show's all about, and that's what we're seeking to do, to equip people, to encourage them, and to give them a model, not just in terms of content, but also in terms of composure, where you do what you do with gentleness and with respect. My book, Has God Spoken, really speaks to this issue on many different levels, so it's available as well. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Our prayer is that those listening who know Christ will indeed be ambassadors for Christ, so other lost sons and daughters of Adam can know the second Adam, who did what we could not do. He lived the perfect life which we could not live and offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift. I want to leave you with that thought and look forward to seeing you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org. where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now."